Shalom, אנחנו בשיעור על מאמרי שמעתי.
So we're in a lesson on, from the Shamati articles. We will start with an article number 104 in Shamati. You can find the study material in our site in the Arvut system under the study material button. You can send their questions as well. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. Rav, please.
Yes, we have the two very short articles today from Shamati, and that's probably more or less how Bala Sulam said it, and Rabash wrote it based on his words, and it's these few points along the path. Our whole path is achieving Lishma, which is above our ego, above our self-calculations, so that all our calculations will be according to the will to bestow, meaning the calculation of the Creator, and not that of our ego. The more we transcend all of the conditions that we see, feel, experience each and every time, the more we rise in faith above reason, meaning we rise towards Bina further and further, coming closer to the degree of Bina and moving away from that of Malchut. Accordingly, the reason is the degree of Malchut, faith is the degree of Bina, and that's faith above reason, that I make a calculation not according to my will to receive, but according to the will to bestow. And the will to bestow, we don't know what that is. That is in the Creator. But when I want to approach it, come closer to it, somewhat feel it, then Kabbalists tell me, you should engage in loving others instead of loving yourself. You need to engage in giving instead of receiving. And in such a way, you approach Lishma. The less you think about yourself, and the more you think about the benefit of the ten, and through this sort of exercises, you'll approach Lishma. Bala Sulam said a few words about this here. As they were studying the Zohar. So, this is article 104. And the saboteur was sitting, meaning that the saboteur is present. What is it about? What is he saying? What is it about? What is he saying? In the Zohar portion, Noah, he says this, there was a flood and the saboteur was sitting in the midst of it. He asked, Bala Sulam, a flood means a flood of water. This in itself is deadly and a saboteur. It's a flood. So what does it mean that the saboteur was sitting in the midst of it? In the midst of the flood. Also, so it's a trouble inside a trouble. Also, what is the difference between the flood and the saboteur? They both bring pressure and suffering. So, Bala Sulam replied that the flood is corporeal torments, meaning torments of the body. Within it, meaning within the torments of the body, there is yet another saboteur who sabotages spirituality. This is the main thing. This means that the afflictions of the body bring him foreign thoughts until these foreign thoughts sabotage and kill his spirituality. Meaning, this is what we already know from our life, that different states, unpleasant states come to us. Fatigue, confusion, weakness could also be extreme states that are pressuring us where something is terribly wrong, whatever it can be. If we put all those things together from the environment and the family and whatever it is that a person has, all of that can be called a flood. Let's see. And within that flood sits the saboteur. And the saboteur means that all these troubles that appear corporeally, they detach us from spirituality. It's hard for us to advance from within them, to move closer to spirituality, to think in order to bestow, to do what's good in the eyes of the Creator, because the corporeal troubles pressure us. So there's two saboteurs here, so to speak, a trouble within a trouble. A corporeal trouble that carries a spiritual trouble inside of it. This means that the saboteur is sitting in the midst of the flood. And here we have to make a good judgment of how do we cope with this, how do we overcome the disturbances that are corporeal. Understanding that they come only to direct us better to a higher level of Lishma. And then we'll understand that from the flood itself, meaning from within life and all of the circumstances in life and all of our relationships in the ten that also come and try to sort of engulf us with these waves of the flood. Inside that, still we need to rise and try to fight the corporeal and spiritual flood. And there's an order to this work against that. Against the external and internal disturbances. The external disturbances could be many things, but they too, we have to relate them to the same source, just as the inner disturbance. It's one within the other. So we have to align these things. Sometimes we forget that it all comes in order to direct us to go above reason, to go above our mind. And other times, even if we don't forget that it comes to deflect us from above reason, but we're just incapable and we're willing to succumb to it. So, we have to really be accountable to ourselves here. What is the saboteur within the saboteur, meaning the spiritual disturbance that lies within the corporeal one? And thus we'll advance.
No?
Yes, no.
Shamati 104, and the saboteur was sitting. In Zohar, the Noah portion, there was a flood, and the saboteur was sitting in the midst of it. He asked, a flood means a flood of water. This in itself is deadly and a saboteur. So what does it mean that the saboteur was sitting in the midst of it, in the midst of the flood? Also, what is the difference between the flood and the saboteur? He replied that the flood, meaning corporeal torments, meaning torments of the body, within it, meaning within the torments of the body, there is yet another saboteur who sabotages spirituality. This means that the afflictions of the body bring him foreign thoughts until these foreign thoughts sabotage and kill his spirituality.
Спасибо, учитель. Раф, правильно ли мы понимаем, что...
Thank you very much, teacher. Do we understand correctly that in every flood, in the right work, we need to seek the saboteur, meaning not to struggle with the corporeal flood, but with the inner saboteur? Struggle with the corporeal flood, but with the inner saboteur.
In each and every state where we discover ourselves to be disconnected from the Creator, from in order to bestow, from the group itself, from everything that belongs to spirituality, to being in the spiritual state, whatever state it is, we have to try to determine two states, the bodily state and the spiritual state. Bodily means all the states and circumstances that we have here in our corporeal world, which is, well, first, our health, our mood, our corporeal environment, family. That's one. And two, the extent to which it affects and hinders our connection with the Ten and the Creator. And this is how we align all these circumstances, everything that affects us, to a single source, that it all comes from the Creator. Of course, the whole flood comes from Him, including both its external and internal appearance. So, first, try to see everything there that exists as belonging to the Creator, to the point that we only have left to think whether I too belong to the Creator. And so then, what is the only thing left outside the Creator? It's just that point of observation and decision, which is the point in the heart, that when the Creator created the will to receive, He detached it from Himself, so to speak. And so we feel ourselves as if detached from Him. So I have to relate my mind, my heart to the Creator as well. What do I conclude here? That I don't have my own mind or heart, no thoughts, no emotions. It's all designed by the Creator in me. So that above my feeling and my understanding, I'll rise to Him as the source. And even though in my feelings and in my thoughts, I go through various states that are opposite and confusing and throw me from one end to the other, I accept all of that as a flood sent by the Creator, and He has to send it in order to clean, to purify my desire. As we read that after the flood, the earth, let's say planet Earth, is cleansed from all kinds of phenomena, and thus new life can emerge. So even though this water that comes and clean everything is a flood, it's not just the water of Bina, it's Bina and Malchut together that clean each other, and thus such a connection is made that then leads to corrections, meaning there's a connection that happens between Bina and Malchut. And that's how we can use that and advance. That's how creation began. And creation means that within the human, there is an opportunity, a possibility to transcend his will to receive and relate everything that's happening to him to the upper force, to Bina, to bestowal. So, if a person realizes that both the external saboteur and the inner saboteur are one inside the other, the saboteur in his corporeal states, and even more than that, in his spiritual states, that prevents him from rising to the degrees of Bina, degrees of faith. If he understands it all comes from the Creator and he has to relate both of those saboteurs to the Creator, these great disturbances, there's none else besides him. So, by that, he gets rid of foreign thoughts, both on the level of Malchut and above that, on the level of Bina, and he comes to a state of faith above reason. What's faith above reason? Meaning, I don't take into account both of these saboteurs, the corporeal and the spiritual, and I am only adhered to bestowal, to the Creator. That is the first point that exists in the quality of faith, Bina, above the Malchut. So, in arranging our attitude to spirituality, we have to differentiate between these two levels, the corporeal disturbance. Typically, we feel ourselves tired, powerless, maybe even some sickness, other corporeal disturbances, family, work, etc., etc. And what's happening is that within these disturbances, we have to discover the spiritual disturbance that I don't want. I have no strength, no mood. I have such laziness I can't overcome. That's the second more internal saboteur. And against it, we should especially fight. So by these two saboteurs, we try to reach the cause of them, which is the Creator. As it says, that I bring the flood to the ground, meaning he does all that. And by that, we come to the degree of faith above reason, that I accept both as coming from the Creator, and I hold on to the friends, and along with the friends and the Creator, that's how we're saved from the flood. And we discover that our connection between us and together with the Creator leads us to the shore, and we come out of the ark and we begin to settle on the ground, meaning in the will to receive that can already achieve the degree of Bina, that's where we start a new settlement. Faith above reason.
Hello, Rav.
Alla luce di quanto hai appena risposto, se ho capito bene,
this, from what you just answered, if I understood it correctly, the flood, the spiritual saboteur that the Creator sends to purify our will to receive, this saboteur, this internal saboteur is what bothers us as we want to perform actions for spirituality. The question, what need did the Creator have to put a saboteur inside there, inside of us?
We have two forces, Bina and Malchut. We have to discover them, detect them, understand the connection between them. How do we work with both of them and advance in such a way? That's why we have two saboteurs, one on behalf of Malchut and another one on behalf of Bina. And this determines also that we are in between the worlds, the corporeal world and the spiritual world. We're in two bodies. One, let's say our biological body that we discover as the one that exists here in this world, and the other body is our spiritual body, which means desires to bestow. And that exists on the spiritual level. And it all comes from, well, the fact that it's one inside the other, that the true saboteur sits within the external saboteur. It's because we're made of the matter of Malchut, and we wish to achieve qualities or behavior of Bina. And so that gives us two levels. We are a created being on the level of Malchut, and the Creator is on the level of Bina. And that is what we need to attain, how we need to study his behavior and become similar to the Creator. That's why there are two levels and two such troubles that prevent us, one on behalf of Malchut, the other on behalf of Bina. We have to see it as help made against thee. There's nothing that actually prevents us. It just awakens us and prevents us from resting, and otherwise we would just agree, doing nothing, falling asleep, and so on. These two saboteurs constantly shake us and push us to rise higher to the goal.
The more I'm listening, the more you're answering the question. But I'm wondering, with someone who's yearning for spirituality, if these two always go hand in hand, or can one exist without the other at times?
No.
No, they both exist simultaneously. They both come from the Creator together. But the question is, to what extent am I in contact with the environment, the ten? And then I find that there's just one saboteur or two. Meaning, if I'm connected to the environment, then I discover that the disturbances are actually spiritual. And if I'm not connected to the group, then I typically find just a corporeal disturbance. I feel bad, I have no time, I have no power, I'm incapable of doing anything, and maybe I'm even just letting go of things and all kinds of thoughts and desires like that. And when I'm connected to the group, then I am on a different level of thoughts and doubts even, because the group necessitates me. Envy, lust, and honor take the person out of this world. Meaning I also can't allow myself to talk to the friends the way I think about towards myself. With myself, I can say, I don't want anything, I'm just gonna leave everything and I'm sick of it. But when I'm with the friends, the honor and envy don't allow me to speak this way. And so by envy, lust, and honor, I don't allow myself to speak that way, to be that lowly in the eyes of the friends, and that begins to help me rise to a higher level. Our ego is called helpmate against thee. It helps us. It helps us rise from below upwards. We have to see how that happens and what makes it helpmate against thee. It's as if working against itself. Moscow 6.
Rav, why is it written that it's a saboteur? After all, it's the help from the Creator. It's on the contrary. So how's that possible?
This depends on how you accept Him. Of course, it comes from the Creator when all kinds of disturbances come. They come only in order to show you that you're in a bad state and you have an opportunity to rise to a better state. We rise in sanctity and never descend in sanctity. But it all depends on how you've prepared yourself in the ten. As we discussed, that the ten doesn't allow you to succumb to the disturbance, but rather overcome it. And thus advance. No.
Last question about the same thing. If it's possible to protect ourselves from this corporeal sufferings and find a disconnect from the body, because you come to the lesson nevertheless to receive the influence of the light. So how to protect ourselves from the saboteur that sits inside?
That's where we already need the ten. By connecting and by intending towards the inner saboteur, that by it, thanks to it, we rise higher. question so much. We don't have disturbances. We sometimes call it that way. But all in all, what we get from the Creator after we were created in the will to receive, it's all in order to recognize our will to receive as the evil inclination, which is something we don't know and don't see. We don't look at our whole nature as evil and that it's all against us and it stands between us and the Creator. And that's what we need to identify. We should be walking all day with this feeling that our nature is what separates us from the Creator, and how do I rise above my nature and cling to the Creator, and how can the group help me do that?
Move on.
So the disturbance...
Understood.
Is simply to teach me to hold on to the 10.
The disturbances are not disturbances. They're actually the opposite. They're assistance. This is called help made against thee. They help me come closer to the Creator and cling to Him and come to the upper.
Però io alla fine del testo.
I'm sorry, teacher, but
questo significa che le afflizioni del corpo.
In the end of the article, I read, "This is the meaning that the afflictions of the body bring him foreign thoughts. Until these foreign thoughts sabotage and kill his spirituality, we need to prevent that, right? Not to get to that, right?
These foreign thoughts are what brings us to spirituality if we use them correctly. We can't otherwise come closer to spirituality without the foreign thoughts. But it's not that we use them directly the way they are. Rather, by these thoughts, each time we are forced to connect between us in the 10 and more connect to the friends, and through the connection with the friends, we use these foreign thoughts as a leverage that necessitates us to advance forward. We don't understand so well what is the role of our ego. That's why I mentioned how Jacob greeted Pharaoh, because our ego is called help made against thee. Because without that help against you, you wouldn't be able to advance. All right, we'll clarify these things more and more.
Can I ask another question, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Because it seems huge, where you say that we need, it comes to me like we need to work on it, to take it with us, and then aim it towards spirituality. Rav, correct. Let's say I'm in a certain, and I have before me the possibility to learn, to talk with my friends in our connection throughout the day, do something else. And besides that, I have an immense desire to lay down, to sleep, to rest, to leave everything. Yes? So there are two desires that are truly conflicting one another. So here I need to see the extent in which, if I were to connect to the group without the disturbance, and now where I really want to sleep, I feel tired, I'm not in the mood, I don't have anything, indifference towards the friends and everything. If now I overcome and connect to the 10, then I'm already in connection with them in a much higher degree. So that's what we call the help against him. On one hand, it does seemingly an action that's against. On the other hand, it raises me to a higher degree of connection and in coming closer to the Creator. These are clear matters. But see how he works. And we're not allowed to forget this. If we do it like this every day, towards every opportunity that we have for connection, towards the scrutiny of our texts, let's say, and the speaking that we do between us, then we will benefit from it. That in order to progress. It's the same here. You can't just lay down and you and your bed will be brought to the end of correction. It doesn't work that way. It only happens according to efforts. And the efforts are measured in accordance with the suffering, with accordance with the force of resistance to it. That's why we're talking here about the two, our two saboteurs, which constantly bother us in our advancement. Also, corporeal disturbances, which is this world, our family, our job, health and all kinds of things, and within them, spiritual disturbances. And a person needs to locate these and those, not to be immersed in them, but to locate them and to see the extent in which these disturbances are actually guiding him towards the goal. And then when he aims more to the goal, more internally, he will see how these disturbances will change because they emerge from the Creator. And if he had corporeal disturbances, they're corporeal. What can you change here? He'll see that through his attitudes towards the goal, he can also change the corporeal disturbances as well. It's truly so. And he no longer has a disturbance from the side of the family and the children and work, etc. Rather, it all moves more and more towards spiritual disturbances. We still need to learn these relationships between these two saboteurs.
So how to take advantage of that state in the 10 and not to disconnect?
First, we have to define times for Torah, as they say, where you have to define certain times a day that you have to connect. Like it or not, you have to connect. And you don't let go of a person that says, I am not capable today or I can't today. Somewhat that you can, you have to be connected with us. Even in somewhat. You can't talk, let's say you're there in some meeting or something. Correct. But nevertheless, we want to know that you're with us. We're not letting you go. What are you looking at me like that, Oren? Huh?
It's good that there's no one who's letting me go.
That's right. I won't leave you.
And
so that's it. We have to pressure each person this way. There's no such thing that you can't, that there's something next to you. You have to keep something next to you in a way that you are connected to us, so that we will also know in some red bulb that is lit in us that you're with us, and maybe you can't even listen, but that's next to you. So you are, let's say, even unconscious, but you're with us. This is very important. And this way we don't let go of any friend throughout all the meetings between us. And later we'll talk also how to expand the meetings, not as far as times, but as far as the internal connection.
To overcome my reluctance to connect with my ten, and therefore be connected with them, what helped me to be able to overcome this disturbance, this perturbation? I see that there is something missing.
What's missing here is support from the friends, for them to pressure you, so that you will connect to them, come closer to them. That's what's missing. No more than that. Don't wait for you to have the desire. That you don't know what states you'll have to overcome, where you'll have no strength to move your smallest finger. Moreover, yourself and your internality, and to aim your heart towards connection with the friends. And therefore, you need only through one will help his friend, where a person cannot save himself from the house of imprisonment. Only friends. You need to be ready for this and perform such habits and customs and systems, rules in the group, that we are not waiting for a friend to scream for us to help him. No. Where we come to a state in which we come and help him. And we don't even wait until we will hear his cry. But simply, every single day, we need to check throughout the day several times what state all our friends are in the ten. Are they okay or not? Just like with soldiers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that everyone is present, ready for connection. Otherwise, we will fall. That's called arvut, without which certainly we cannot. This is the main rule, the main law for the building of the kli, for the revelation.
What traits and tactics one should develop to battle against the inner sabotage of spirituality? What preparation can help?
Constantly examine oneself to which to what form you're in the perception of the saboteurs. You're always in a state where the saboteurs are holding on to you and not letting go of you. It's just that they're switched. They're these saboteurs. They're changing. And so therefore it seems to you like you're free, maybe somewhat from them, because you're not paying attention. But actually every single moment you are in the hands of the saboteurs. External saboteurs, more internal saboteurs, and both are operating upon you. Meaning you feel the laziness, a little sickness, something else. This is towards the physical saboteurs. And within them, spiritual saboteurs, just like we read. And it's a problem, a very big problem, how we can get rid of them. And this is through me each time evoking myself to a way to exit their grip, as they're gripping onto me and binding me. And I have no possibility of escaping. What do I need to do in order to escape them? And here there's but one solution. The ten. A prisoner cannot save himself from the house of imprisonment, but rather only his friends grab him or throw him a rope or something they do, and only in such a way he can run away from the house of imprisonment from his ego. Only friends can save each of us from within the ego of each of us, where a person is. Therefore, the flood, the internal saboteur, the external saboteur, we need to think now what they are towards the ten, towards my exit from the ten, towards my coming closer to in order to bestow, towards lishma, and how I nevertheless come closer to that, I near that. And always divide my presence in my ego, egoistic desire to two parts, to the corporeal part and the spiritual part, meaning to those two saboteurs, where one saboteur comes and brings me all kinds of corporeal problems into me, fatigue, sickness, all kinds of problems at work, at home, and so on. That's the corporeal saboteur and the spiritual saboteur, where he starts already to work. This is not for you, and you can't, and how many years have you been investing in this, and so on and so forth. And I need to arrange my attitude in the right way toward...
How can Bnei Baruch help people who feel the flood externally?
The main thing for us is to connect the external flood with the inner saboteur. So I won't think that I'm in an external flood only, because all the reason for the external flood is from the internal flood. If I don't identify it, it's not good. So I didn't scrutinize the situation correctly. PD 13.
In the last month, I had the opportunity to talk to friends who discovered they're sick with a disease. They're all working in a tent with the friends, but they keep saying that it's very difficult to overcome the personal fear of losing life, and constantly hold on to the Creator, hold on to the goal. Maybe you could give an advice of how to overcome that fear.
I can't give any advice here. All I can say is to all those who belong to those people who are attributed to those people, they're amongst Bnei Baruch or not. If it's not Bnei Baruch, then there's nothing we can do.
Yes, Bnei Baruch students.
So if they're in Bnei Baruch, we need to pray for them at least once a day, meaning to mention them. We need to try and think about them, and we need to also strengthen them as much as possible. First of all, in that everything that comes from the Creator, that it all comes in order to attain the final goal. Towards the final goal, it's clear that all of us eventually passes away from this life, this corporeal life, the lowest world, the most difficult world, and the most darkest of worlds. So we need to help them be constantly connected to the goal as much as possible.
And in terms of the person himself, when these moments when the fear takes over.
So we need as much as possible to strengthen them that there is no fear here. But rather, each and everyone like this will feel in his life that he is moving and passing from this life, and he should just strengthen himself and connect himself to the next life.
PT31.
When the corporeal trouble appears, at first it seems like the ground beneath you is moving away. How do you help the friend in that initial step?
It's important for us to never be disconnected from the ten for even a moment, and then the ground won't escape from under our feet. That's all I can say. That's called mutual arvut, where we need to care for him all the time.
When a friend brings his trouble to the ten, what kind of scrutiny should he do before bringing that flood to the ten so that the saboteur will not appear?
He needs to explain it. We usually don't explain it to the whole ten, but to one or two from the ten, so that they, as they are maybe more ready to receive such problems, and then they're consulted how to do it, maybe like this. To say it before everyone is, it's like you're silencing the ten from its advancement. That's why we need to do the opposite of that. Where the ten is there, and we are injecting into the ten also our problem. And that's how we advance in such a way. There's a certain delicate thing that we have to do here. In each ten, you have a slightly different approach. And all kinds of such states need to just be arranging more of a tighter connection between us. PT19.
Thank you, Rav. I heard you say in the past that if a person has problems in his necessities, then he can go out and fix his necessities and then come back to the spiritual work.
No. Not to stop. Completely not. It could be that he has no choice and maybe he'll miss a few lessons, but to completely cut off, no, he also writes about that. By no means, do not let go of the path. Otherwise, you are truly falling to corporeality. And your corporeal solution will already be different if you were connected to the group or not.
But if he feels that he's really a burden on the group and so on.
That's not something that's on him, whether he burdens or not. The Creator arranges those things. He has to hold on to the ten as much as possible. That's it, without performing calculations behind which usually the ego stands and justifies a person that, leave. Don't worry, you'll come back in a year, and so on. No. Anything but leave. That's the law.
A rule for everyone. PT38, how can we correct the saboteur, or how to kill him before he kills the spirituality in us?
We are reforming the saboteur, both saboteurs, the inner and the external ones, by overcoming them, by them not allowing them to separate us from our friends and the Creator. By this, we correct these saboteurs. We justify their presence.
I hope
you're hearing. The specifications of the body.
Somebody stated that we justify the presence of the saboteurs. What does that mean, to justify their presence?
Without saboteurs, we couldn't reach spirituality. The saboteurs show us the forces that resist spirituality, the corporeal and spiritual ones. And so I start depicting to myself this entire world as a resistance to spirituality, and my entire attitude toward the group and toward the spiritual world are also as a kind of resistance to spirituality, and I need to change my attitude both to this world and the spiritual ones so that I will see in all these things the aiding forces from the Creator that this way shapes me towards spiritual attainment. That's it. There are no cruel in the king's palace. We have to see all these as of bad forces. We need to see them as something good, to invert them into good, and accordingly to live in a world of good.
Mach 3. The soul imprinted in the memory that suffering is good, that it advances. How to not enjoy the suffering and use them correctly?
That I prefer, and it's called that you're fond of the suffering, that there are torments of love, that I suffer as a result of not having enough love toward the friends, toward the Creator. If I want to replace the suffering to their opposite, actually, then instead of hate, instead of rejection towards the friends and the Creator, I need to reach love. And then I invert all the bad into good. And I'll never be harmed that way then, never, and I'll never feel something bad or pain, only on condition that I aspire to be in connection with them. This is as a general remedy that protects me.
From Latin 20, how can we overcome and rise above the flood of thoughts, the foreign thoughts, and connect to the 10?
This is something that we already learn about in a different place. How can we strengthen ourselves and hold on to our connection in order not to fall to these saboteurs? This is what we learn about all the time. Through connection, by annulment, what Rabash writes about in his social articles.
From Kiev 3. If all of Israel are guarantors to one another, so while fighting the saboteurs, where's the 10 works and work, and where's the individual's work?
I don't think that there's work of the particular and general here, but we all need to, as much as possible, try to connect, to be more tightly together.
From France, one, they're asking, if a student experiences a flood where he lives, does that count as a flood in the work?
No. We only need to get a feeling that if I disconnect from the 10, then I'm in the stormy sea. Pay attention to this sentence. If I disconnect from the 10, I am in a stormy sea, meaning I'm thrown out of the boat. That's how I have to feel. And this is how I need to live my life. The Shekhinah is the dust. You're fond of suffering. Then he said, neither they nor their reward. about this beauty, which wears off in the dust. Suffering is primarily in a place that is above reason, and the measure of the suffering depends on the extent to which it contradicts the reason. This is called faith above reason, and this work gives contentment to the Creator. It follows that the reward is that by this work there is contentment to one's Maker. That's the reward. However, in between, before one can prevail and justify his guidance, the Shekhinah is in dust. This means that the work by way of faith, called the Shekhinah, is in exile, in dust, canceled in the dust. And he said about that, neither they nor their rewards. This means that he cannot stand the period in between. And this is the meaning of his reply to him, I am crying for this and for that. Well, there are many things about this. The words are such that, some is revealed, some is concealed. And, mostly it's they reveal the concealment. But let's somehow see. Oh, read, please.
Shemati 129, the Shekhinah in the dust. You are fond of suffering? Then he said, neither they know their reward. About this beauty which wears off in the dust. Suffering is that primarily in a place that is above reason. And the measure of the suffering depends on the extent to which it contradicts the reason. This is called faith above reason. And this work gives contentment to the Creator. It follows that the reward is that by this work there is contentment to one's Maker. However, in between, before one can prevail and justify his guidance, the Shekhinah, the divinity, is in the dust. This means that the work by way of faith called Shekhinah is in exile, canceled in the dust. And he said about that, neither they nor their reward. This means that he cannot stand the period in between. And this is the meaning of his reply to him, I am crying for this and
discover the forces to be able to do something himself, but the crying in and of itself is something truly great. Crying is a sign of katnut, smallness, that he achieves his inability, his helplessness, powerlessness on the one hand. He also feels that he's small, so he feels that he is related, tied to the Great One, to the Great. And when he cries to the Creator, and by that, he advances, crying isn't a point where there's nothing left to do, but through crying, we achieve many things. Many things. If our work is in prayer, and only through pleading, only through prayer, can we get the forces from above. And only the forces from above can help us prevail. Then the crying that we apply, it is a sign of katnut. It is a sign that we have no forces. We have no hope of being able to do anything ourselves, but all of our hopes, we pin them on the upper, that we cry to Him. So crying is something truly great. As it says, my soul shall cry There are many songs and states in spirituality that are called crying and the matter of tears in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Tears are those lights that can't dress in masach and ochoza, in screen and reflected light. They're called demot, tears. And that's something truly great. And it also comes to correction. I'd say that all of our corrections eventually come from tears, because we need to discover about each and every detail how incapable we are of correcting ourselves, and to ask. The true request comes out of crying always. Crying is a sign of katnut and pertaining to the upper. So, when we discover divinity and dust, that the Creator is hidden, that His greatness is hidden, and what is revealed to us is the very opposite, that the dust, this is the matter of divinity and dust. So, of course, when we cry here, this means to cry for the destruction, the shattering of the holiness of the temple. Well, there are different names to it. So by that, we raise man. We apply a great request, and as a result, from above, we get forces. That's how it works. Okay, so let's... I think I saw PT25. Oh, okay, forget it. Let's go to Turkey 1.
Tinkerov, my friend is asking, can you explain the concept of Shehina?
Shehina, divinity, is called the tense will to receive, that all the desires to receive are joined together, and from that we wish to come to equivalence of form with the Creator. The willingness to receive the revelation of the Creator in order to bestow to the created beings is called Shechina. Network, the proper good network of connections between us as much as we can, according to our condition, according to our degree, that is aimed, directed toward the Creator, that in this network of connections, we're all interconnected. Connected, meaning that to some extent we treat each other correctly, and from that, from our connection, this is also how we relate to the Creator. That we want for Him to clothe, and by that we will give Him contentment. And so if this is how we connect between us, and as a result of our connection, we find all in all, our general connection with the Creator, that's called Shechina. And from the Shechina comes the Shochen, meaning the Creator that is revealed and is clothed in it. This is our work, and this is what we yearn to come to.
How can I have power to walk in faith about reason during the period of concealment?
With the help of the friends, with the help of the study, by trying to hold yourself in connection with them, even though that the connection with them has not yet become revealed as a spiritual system, but it still seems to you that you have a corporeal connection and only Still, if you wish to keep yourself in that, and you believe in what Kabbalists write, that by that, that this is the way that you need to strengthen yourself and achieve your spirituality, then that's how you go. The main thing is to shift or cross from a particular feeling. Suppose in our condition, what do we need? We need to cross from our particular feeling to a general feeling in the ten. That I don't measure myself, but I measure the ten. I don't feel myself, but I feel the ten. Do I ascend? No, the ten does. Or the ten descends, and not me. That all the time I put myself in the ten. I want to feel that I'm inside the boat. And this is how I advance in spirituality, and more and more. Otherwise, I have no chance of reaching spirituality. I myself am incapable of performing any spiritual act.
From Ekaterinburg, how to discern between the crying of the ego that feels its limitation and the crying from lack of forces to connect with the Creator. Rav, they're both egoistic for now. That's why we supposedly think that it's spiritual, that we want to connect to the Creator. That is also an egoistic cry. And no more than that. But the main thing is connection between us. The Creator isn't up there somewhere above. To the extent that I'm close to my friend, I am close to the Creator. Period. Nothing more than that. That's why look how far away you are from the Creator. Next.
Mach 3. How to turn corporeal suffering into love pains.
Love pains is that I don't have love. That I don't have love to the Creator. That's why I am really in a state,
a
helpless state. I must have love to the Creator. And love of the Creator I can only reach under the condition that I reach love to the ten. Love to the ten is only if I raise importance to the ten. That I value them. That they're really between me and the Creator, and He is revealed in the ten, not behind them, in them. Meaning as much as I appreciate, value, come close to a friend, to that extent, I am also towards the Creator.
Yes. Another question about suffering from men and women. If in Bnei Baruch we study Torah, why do we experience suffering? Because we're not studying correctly?
We're not realizing it correctly, and we also can't exchange our suffering into pleasure. We're still in the will to receive, and we have no way to work with the will to receive in order to bestow. Yes.
If we will correctly implement Torah, will we not feel the suffering by correctly being connected with the friends? Will we annul, cancel them?
To the extent that we're going from receiving to bestowing, to that extent, we rid ourselves of suffering, and then we have love suffering. That I don't have enough love, and to the extent that I
discover or reveal love towards the friends and through them to the Creator, then I already reach the purpose of creation. To that extent, I feel the wholeness and perfection.
They're joining with the posterior vessels into one goof.
Look what he writes here. It's something very special. We have the will to bestow, which is the Creator. He, against it, created the will to receive, which is Malchut, the created being. And how can we see how the created being and the Creator come close to such an extent when they start entering each other and completing each other and become actually one? How's that possible? So here he gives us the beginning of it. That first, they need supposedly to connect between them, to discover as much as they're opposite of one another, to such an extent that they cause the shattering between them. These vessels shatter and die, meaning the light departs. But when it departs, it leaves records inside of a shimo. And then in these shattered desires, we have the records. And then, now we need to build a system that will bestow on these shattered records with inside, that the system will bestow light upon the shattered vessels, and this light that when it bestows on the shattered vessels, it awakens them, that they feel that they're shattered, that they have a desire to receive, but also they want to reach the desire to bestow. There's something that disturbs them, that draws them to some higher degree of existence. And then, in such a way, we can awaken them for correction. That is what we now need to learn. How? We'll see that after the shattering of the world of Nikudim, the shattered vessels are organized in such a way that the upper light that bestowed upon them through all the shattered vessels, through all the systems that they've went through, it works on them in such a way that it causes them correction. And that's how it's going to happen. And then gradually they'll reach the correction into one goof. So that's how we see that in the gadlut of the world of Nikudim they could receive in order to bestow only in the vessels above the parsa. When they started descending in order to bestow with the right intention supposedly below the parsa, there the vessels weren't actually ready to receive in order to bestow there. That's why the shattering took place. And it was a big difference in what they thought before the action and what happened after they started the action. That's why the vessels of Zat of Nikudim broke. What's the benefit of this? The benefit from these vessels being in order to bestow in sanctity, now they fell into the vessels, they became in order to receive impurity, klipa, but in them now they're parts of the upper light, and from that state that they had before. That's why by falling below and mixing with the vessels of reception, you can take all the will to receive, all the vessels of reception afterwards and correct it and bring it back to in order to bestow. That's why this shattering
is a shattering for the good future that the vessels of bestowal and reception will mix between them together. And then by the upper light, you can bestow upon them, scrutinize them, sort them out, and gradually correct them.